Well, good morning. My name is Brian Colligan, and I am our student ministry director here, and I am so honored to get to talk to you this morning. I don't always get to do this part. Normally, I'm down with students, but I am honored to be with you this morning. We're calling this Student Serve Sunday, so you've seen students kind of all over. Maybe your ushers look a little younger than they normally do, but I am excited to bring the word to you this morning and preach to you all. First off, I know this is probably a little less common in this service, but certainly in the traditional, this is not what the pastors wear when they preach. They wear vestments, as my kids call them, the Slytherin robes. I am not wearing that this morning, nor did I wear it in first service. But the story behind this shirt is when I was interviewing, I had a series of interview with lay people, and Court Smith was on my interview team, and he goes, "Hey, Brian, why the shirt?" Because this is the exact shirt I was wearing. And I said, "Well, Court, I'm dressing for the job I want, not the job I have. I want to be the kind of student director who is accessible, who wears a pink cactus shirt and talks with students and hangs out with students and can be accessible to adults. And so I come to you today 100% who I am and who I want to be for you all, which is somebody who speaks the truth of God and gives you the truth of God from his word." And so we're going to jump in this morning into this new series called High Expectations, High Grace. And we're going to be talking specifically about baptism, which I also think is funny that I got to talk on baptism. I didn't grow up in the Methodist church. I grew up as an Anglican, and so I was baptized as an infant, which is the tradition here in a Methodist church as well. But then my first job out of Bible college was for a small non-denominational church called Grace Brethren. And to be a part of that church, they asked that I be rebaptized. And in the Grace Brethren tradition, which they believe is the right way, most of you have probably seen an immersion, and in an immersion, they typically go backwards, right? I was baptized three times forward. So think of it this way. A pastor is slamming your face into the water three times in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We really want you to experience that death and resurrection. It feels like someone's trying to drown you, right? And so that was when I was baptized as an adult, right? So I feel like I'm an expert on baptism. I've been, you know, slapped in the face a couple times. Anyway, but all joking aside, I share that because I go, hey, part of getting to preach to you this morning was part of my own study and understanding of what is baptism. And so for those of you who grew up Methodist, I ask for grace because you've probably heard this sermon before. But for those of you who haven't, I hope that I can help you better understand baptism and the way and why we do it the way that we do here. So to start with baptism, and it was awesome because in the traditional service we had a baptism, we didn't this morning, but baptism is the greatest example of God's grace. It is a beautiful picture of how God interacts with us. And not only that, it's one of the few things that on earth Jesus also partook in, that he was baptized. And so this morning, I have a sixth grader. Her name is Lily Hayden. Come on up, Lily Hayden. She is in sixth grade. She goes to Renner Middle School. And this morning, she's going to read for us a passage from Mark chapter 1 about Jesus' baptism. So, Lily Hayden, I'm going to turn it over to you. Take center stage and read it out.
"The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan."
Keep going. We're going all the way to 15. You're okay.
"Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven begin torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, who I am loved. With you I am well pleased.' At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time has come,' he said. 'The kingdom of the God has come near. Repent and believe the good news.'"
Great job, Lily Hayden. Let's clap it up for Lily Hayden. Come on. right? It's intimidating to stand up here, but I also share that because, listen, I'm the student ministry director. I want students up on this stage because it is not that they're the church of tomorrow. They are the church of right now, and they are a part of this congregation. And so you'll see them moving throughout the service. You'll saw them greeting at the doors. But why baptism was kind of the next question I came to. Why do we get baptized? Well, it's a display of God's cleansing work in our lives. When we do a baptism here, we reaffirm our baptismal vows. The cleansing of our own sins, because the reality is we are all sinners. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And not just were you a sinner, you are going to continue to sin. You are going to continue to mess up. And so we need God's grace. We need baptism as that symbol of washing and cleansing us. And so then as I kept unpacking this, so then why infant baptism? Well, in the Methodist Church, we have an understanding of God's prevenient grace. And so to explain this, I have an object lesson that I have two eighth grade girls who are going to go pick it up and bring it over. Go grab it, girls. Hopefully this goes better than it did in first service, but I'm going to make this disclaimer. I had seventh grade boys bring it, fell apart right away, just hit the ground, all kinds of stuff. And we laugh, and it's going to be okay. If it doesn't go all right, God's grace is stronger than this little tower that they're pulling over. But to understand God's grace, and as I've been thinking through it, you're doing awesome. It's okay. One piece fell off. Oh, okay. We're good. I wasn't even nervous. I wasn't even nervous. Not at all. Not at all. It's okay. It's fine. Yep. Just drop it. All right. It made it this far, which is pretty good. Okay. So to understand God's prevenient grace, I kept thinking of this law of potential energy. And for my physicists, my mathematicians in the room, or high school students who are in physics, it looks like this. So the law of potential energy is stated this way. PE equals m times h times g, or mgh, right? Potential energy is mass times gravity times height. We've got a tall structure today. Whew, praise God. And so to understand it, I'm going to grab a marble out of my pocket. So a marble has potential energy. And I share this because as I was practicing this morning, I dropped one and it bounced down the steps and rolled to a dead spot right under you, Ian, roughly. And so it will go wherever it wants to go once the energy is released. Or the better picture I have for it, for those of us who aren't necessarily math majors, is this picture of a rock or a boulder or something on top of a hill. It will stay there until an outside motion or outside influence is moved upon it. The same is true for God's prevenient grace. It has always existed, it has always been. And so we baptize infants as a symbol of that grace is upon them. Now, that grace, once enacted upon, then starts through a process. It'll spin, it's going to go round and round, it'll fall out the bottom, it might roll away because the bottom kind of broke off. We'll see what happens. Oh, this is a cool camera shot. See, I didn't even see this earlier. Oh, that's awesome. And so it's going to fall down. It's going to continue to roll. It's going to bounce back and forth. It's going to go down, around, through. Man, it's super cool. One of our students built this. His name's Jack Adams. And then fall out onto the bottom. But this is the starting of the process of God's grace. His prevenient grace is where it's at rest. But once it starts moving, we're actually moving into God's justifying grace, which is us aligning and moving with God. Is taking our lives and going, you know what? They need to look different. I understand what I have been saved from. I understand that God's grace is high. And so I am going to try and line up my life to meet this expectation, this perfection that is Jesus. And I could keep talking about God's justifying grace, but I'd rather you hear it in real time. And so this morning I have a student. I jumped ahead. Forgive me. I do have a student coming up who's going to read a passage that I think captures this very, very well. His name is Aaron Nelson. He's a sophomore from Shepton High School, and Aaron's going to read 1 Peter for us, which displays this for us better than I can say. So Aaron, go ahead.
Thank you, Brian. We are looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 23. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
Thanks. Let's clap it up for Aaron. I mean, thanks, buddy. Right, when we understand God's justifying grace as we move through it, it is this assurance of his forgiveness that we repent from being who we were. We become reconciled to God. And though the ball, like I love it because it spins around and moves around, is really our process of sanctification, trying and growing to become more like Jesus. Now again, I could tell you more and I could expound upon his grace, but I'd rather you hear it in real time. I'd rather you hear it from a student who has gone through this process, is still in this process. And so I'm going to invite Erin Finan, who's one of our sophomore girls from Shepton High School, or freshman girl from Shepton High School, to share her story, her testimony of God's grace. Go ahead, Erin.
As Brian said, I'm Erin Finan, not Erin Nelson. And I have been a part of the students program here at St. Andrews for almost 4 years, and it has truly become my second home. I was raised in a Christian household my entire life with my mom working in church ministry, and that is where I was baptized as an infant. After my baptism and throughout my preschool/elementary school years, I went to Sunday school every week with my family, not because I wanted to, but because it was simply what my family did together. Fast forward to my fifth grade year, COVID shut down everything, and during that year of quarantine, I completely forgot about God. I didn't watch any of the live streams provided by St. Andrews, I didn't pray, and I didn't make an effort to grow my relationship with God. Then my sixth grade year came along, and that is the year when you joined the student ministry here. I remember my first mission trip. I treated it like a week-long playdate, in the sense that I had been isolated from friends during quarantine, and now I have a church full of them. How could I focus on what I was here for, God? For the next year, I went to Sunday school. I went to 412, but still for the wrong reasons. I saw it as an opportunity to hang out with friends. Summer comes around, and my mom signed me up for the Oklahoma City mission trip. When I found out, I was very apprehensive and convinced I'm not going. Newsflash, I did end up going, but not by choice, by obligation. Little did I know, it was the best decision my mom could have made for me. To this day, it is still the best St. Andrews trip I've been on, because that was the first time I claimed a relationship with God and the start of my walk in faith. A few months later, I went to Camp Impact, and I was actually listening to the lessons. I was worshiping, and my faith grew even further. I got home, and like everyone else, that camp high wore off, and I stopped reading scripture. I wasn't praying like I was at camp, and I wasn't focused on God as much as I should have been. I still went to Sunday school every week, but I wasn't making an effort to learn about Jesus and God's word on my own time outside of church, because I didn't know how to pray or comprehend the Bible. Luckily, that year happened to be my confirmation year, and I learned all of those things. It answered all of the questions I had about the Bible, how to read scripture without it sounding like a second language, and how to pray without feeling pressured to use big words that I don't know the meaning of. That was last year, and I couldn't be more happy with the status of my relationship with not only God, but also the church. My faith is still growing to this day, and I can confidently walk into church and feel at my second home. most importantly now, I choose to go to church because it's my home and an opportunity for me to learn about Jesus and God's word, and not because I feel obligated to. Thank you, Brian, for giving me this opportunity to tell my journey with faith. Thank you, Mom, for giving me the privilege to go on all of these trips. Thank you to the staff to create a safe space for not only me, but hundreds of other students. And thank y'all for listening.
Thanks. Let's clap it up for Aaron. I mean, incredible story. I love Aaron's story because God's prevenient grace was upon her, but it wasn't until, right, she started to understand all that had been done for her, that her journey began to change, where sanctification and her looking more like Christ began to transform who she was. And so this morning, here's where the high expectations come in. When we understand God's high grace, what he has done for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus, our expectation and what we do should change. The affirmation of our baptismal vows should drive us to be different. And so I want to pull out three things that we should be doing and our high expectations of each of us. the first of which is prayer. We should be praying. We should be talking with God. What this means is, I hope you guys hear this, is I pray for our students every day. It's not always a long prayer, but I think about them and I spend time in prayer. This morning, as several of my friends knew that I was preaching this morning, they sent me texts of, Brian, I'm praying for you. I hope you do great. That is an expectation and a high expectation that we should be engaged in praying for one another, praying for the body, and praying for the lost. Is that God would open doors and give us opportunity that we would be a praying people, one that communicates with the God of the universe. Expectation two is presence. And I think this one is highly undervalued. The presence of showing up. See, I hope that by showing up at a kid's game in an unexpected way or going to something that they're doing, or my favorite thing is Mondays or Tuesday mornings, I will go over to Shepton High School with some of our youth staff and I'll greet, right? And it's my favorite thing because I'm a morning person. And so like, I'm very chipper and I'm like, hey, how's it going? Good morning, right? And kids look at me like I hate every fiber of your being, right? Or the other week, I saw this one girl and I was like, hey, how's it going? And she looked past me, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever worked with a teenager or have a teenager, but they can look past you. And she looked past me and she's like, hey, Sophia, and kept going. And I was like, oh, okay, right? Is the ministry of presence is being where students or where people are. You might go, hey, Brian, teenagers are intimidating. I get that. Or maybe even your own kids are intimidating. But I would love to impress upon you, have a ministry of presence. Show up for people in your life. Whether it's a student, whether it's a friend, go to the hospital when they're there. Be present with them. Sit next to them in church. Invite them in. Because the ministry of presence transforms. Right? Because we've been transformed, we can then go and take that transformation with us. And the last is your witness. So if we're prayerful, if we're present, our witness should look different. The way that we engage with people should be different. I like to think of it this way, right? If a baby were crying in church this morning, instead of shooting an ugly look at that mother or going, you know, there's childcare, instead I would hope we're a church. Some of you are laughing too hard at that. You've done that. instead, we would move closer to them and help and be a present and a witness of God's goodness and mercy. If my students who are up in the loft, I'm going to wave to you guys. Hey, guys, good to see you up there. If they're being too loud or they're down front and they're being too loud or obnoxious, heaven forbid, right? I would rather you move close to them, not away from them. I would rather you show your witness of I love you despite, I love you in lieu of, I love you and have a presence with you. I'm not going to depart from you, but instead show you the good grace that God has shown me and move towards you in relationship, not away from you. And then lastly, our witness outside of these walls. How do we witness in our workplaces, in the places where we find ourselves, whether you're a C-suite executive, whether you're a stay-at-home mom just trying to survive among the poo and the diapers and all the things that come with it, or whether you're the greeter at your school, or whether you're the principal, that you find a way to reflect who God is in your everyday. That your witness lives outside of this building, that you are not just good on Sunday, but you are good in every way, in every place that you go. To be a witness and a reflection of God's goodness and grace in your life, that you continue to accept and experience his prevenient grace, and so you move in justification to look that much more like Jesus. That's the challenge. That's the high expectation. For me, for years, I would come into church and I had this misunderstanding of God's grace. It was my get out of hell free card, right? I knew that if he's good and he is who he is, then all I have to do is believe and I'm good. I can do whatever I want. I can sin Monday through Saturday, go to church Sunday, and then be back to sinning Sunday afternoon because I had my get out of hell free card. But the reality is that was cheapening God's grace. It was cheapening what God had done for me. And when we understand God's grace, it transforms us, right? Because in those years, I would also sit in church and I would hope, I would pray that was the day where the pastor would look at me and go, hey, Brian, you've been screwing up. It's time to change. Or that the worship song would hit just right and it would convict my heart and all of a sudden I would be changed. Because I think people show up to church hoping to be transformed. Wanting, longing to be transformed. And too often we come in and we go, it's the same old, same old. I've heard it before. of saying the song. But I think when we greater grasp the grace of God and what he does in our life, we walk away different. We are transformed. We are his people. We grow in his likeness. And so this morning, if you came to church hoping to be transformed, I pray that it is not my words that transform you. It is not the songs that we sing, but it is hopefully deepening your relationship with Christ and understanding what you are saved from and the grace that is freely given to you that transforms your life. And so to wrap up, as the band starts to come out, I'm going to read a hymn that I think captures everything that I said this morning in a concise and clean way. Wash, O God, our sons and daughters, where your cleansing waters flow. Number them among your people. Bless as Christ blessed long ago. Weave them garments bright and sparkling. Compass them with love and light. Fill, anoint them. Send your spirit, holy dove, and heart's delight. Oh, how deep your holy wisdom, unimagined all your ways. To your name be glory, honor, with our lives, worship, praise. We, your people, stand before you, water washed and spirit born. By your grace, our lives we offer, recreate us. God, transform. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that my life reflects some piece of you. That, Father, I continue to deepen my understanding of your grace and in that be justified. In that, line my life up with yours. And so this morning, Father, I pray that for my brothers and sisters in the room that you may transform us. By your grace alone is sufficient. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.